according to Genesis chapter 5, the fifth chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll read at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The last portion I'm reading is from the Epistle of Jude. And we'll read verse 14 of Jude. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of the saints to execute judgment upon all, and to pronounce all the ungodly among them, of all the ungodly deeds which are ungodly committed, and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now I want to speak strictly about Enoch, three sort of things about Enoch. First of all, that he walked with God, he worked for God, and he went to God. Those three sort of things about Enoch. And I think that will fit in with the ministry that we've heard already. Now, first of all, he walked with God. He walked with God in a difficult day. He walks in with God when there's lots of ungodliness. And we read in Jude, verse 15, that God is going to execute judgment upon all, and commit all the ungodly among them, of all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all the harsh speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Why, we have the word ungodly in that verse 4 times. That characterizes the day that Enoch lived. And we are hearing the full morning of the ungodly world that we're living in. So Enoch lived in a day similar to ours, and thank God he walked with God in a difficult day. And he was a family man. He begat sons and daughters after he begat Methuselah. He was a family man, and he lived in an ungodly day. In fact, that one word ungodly characterizes the way in which he lived better than any other word. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5, that God brought the will of the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So that characterizes their ungodliness. And of course, we know when it began. Really, there are thousands in the New Testament. We know how they were saved, and when they were saved, and where they were saved. We have a record of it. Thousands. Of course, there's not very many Old Testament ones we know how and when they got saved, but we do know that about Enoch. We do know that about Josiah that our brother Matthew was speaking about. That's in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3. It says, in the answer of his name, when he did learn, he began to seek the God of David his father. So, that was 16 years of age. While he was yet young, he began to seek the God of his father, David. And then the Enoch, while he was 65 years of age, is the birth from the first one. And the first judgment. In his mind. And I believe it's also false for the coming Messiah. God had promised in Genesis 3, verse 15, God said in the presence of Adam and Eve to the devil, I put enmity between thee and the woman, between my seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy hand, and I shall bruise his heel. And so Methuselah's name means, and he goes, it shall come. And the teacher to see that all the prophecy fulfilled, because Methuselah was 187 when he begat Lamech,
And then it says 182 when he begat Noah. Earth, it was an all out of 187 and 182, and come up with 369. And then Noah was 600 years in the flood chain, so Jesus had 600 to 369 and come up with 969 years. The exact age of the season when he died. So the prophecy fulfilled. Then he goes, it's the time. And so judgment came right after the season time. Well, we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, for the last days it shall come scattered, walking up of all us, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now, Peter Peter to tell us why they say it. The walking up of all us. That's why they say it. But on the Chiefsport Conference a number of years ago, an older brother, in the 60s or 70s, a little bit older than the younger, anyway. But anyway, he told me that in his lifetime, he saw a number of persons making atheistic statements at war. And whenever he had the opportunity, he went to each of them that he had the chance to, and said something like this. I never met you before. I don't know you from Adam. But listening to you, sir, I will be a bit surprised that you've been living a pretty wicked life. Significantly, not one of them denied it. And quite a few of them admitted it. That's why they're talking like that. They wish that there was no God to answer to. They wish that the Father of the Father. So the last days will come scattered, walking up the earth, and say, where's the promises of coming? People are walking up the earth, that's why they say them. But then in verse 9, the word of that second king's come with the sun man comes like this. If one suffering flatwood, not one of the ancient coast, for the last of country chasing. So then that chapter we have the flood. And to me, it tells us that one suffering the flood, that when God wanted to pick out a man, and judgment was coming, at the end of his lifespan, he picked out a man with the longest recorded lifespan in all human history, 969 years. The second longest lifespan was Enoch's father, 962. But Methuselah, and I want to remind everyone saving this year, that since Christ has died, there has been a lifespan for two of those days. So, very long suffering, but there's limits to the long suffering of God. So, that's one of the reasons why it hasn't come yet, because of his long suffering. So, when he walked with God, he began to walk with God at 65 years of age, and he walked with God 300 years. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, that faith in it was translated, the children see death. The brother translated him. So before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But he that cometh, but with all faith, he said, for him to praise him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, but is reward of them that diligently seek him. Why, so that was a true keynote of Enoch's faith. The God is, but he's rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that was the exact opposite of the people that came in there. Well, we read that in the book of Job. Job 22, verse 15 to 17. Test on not the old way. This wicked man of Jordan, which were cut down out of time. He furnished his very fool with the flame. He said unto God, he turned from us. And what can the Almighty do for us? So, the world was saying that the God doesn't even assist me. He can't reward anybody. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that he is. But he's the one of them that diligently seek him. So the keynote of his faith is opposite to the people of whom he lived. He kept all those things of faith. They had a different view of things than the men among whom they were. Thank God for the encouragement in his word for us to seek him. Why, Enoch was an encouragement to seek him. Then we took out King Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We read in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, God said, seek me,
And finally, when you submit to me with all your heart. Lamentations 3, verse 24 and 25. And as my portion shall pass all. So far help in him. And I would have fixed them the way for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Our brother Ramsey was speaking about two ways that we can walk by faith or we can walk by sight. And of course, if we want to please God, well, if we want to walk with God, why, we have to walk by faith. And interestingly, in prison, the favorite hymn of the prison seems to be, he walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me I am alone. Well, if that's the truth, wonderful. But if it is, when did it begin? Why, anyone that really walks with God, there's a time when it began. And then again, think of the last words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And of course, if we want to work with God, we have to agree with God. Amos 3, verse 3, so who walks together except that we agree? And I hope that every one of us, I hope that every one of us, the people in prison, of course, I hope that every one of us, we're bringing all the things in our life that were done here to adjust our thinking, to be more in keeping with the Word of God, and to adjust our conduct to be more in keeping with the Word of God, a happy world. And so, the two walk together except to be agreed. So, Enoch walked with God. And then, he worked for God. You read in Jude chapter, Jude verse 14 and 15. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, testified of these things. The Lord shall come with thousands of his, 10,000 of his saints. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all the ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. So he worked for God. Couldn't you have the judgment awoke him? And since he worked with God, we can assume that he spoke of judgment with you. He was compassionate when he was speaking of judgment. Because conscience preaching the son compassionately really was far more likely to grip their own souls and it's far more likely to grip the souls of those he listened to. So he worked for God. And I think of greatness of his heart. He liked to tell of Robert Murray McShane. He wrote some of the hymns in our hymn book. Robert Murray McShane was sick one last day, so Dr. Bonner took his place teaching. And then Dr. Bonner went to see him after the day was over, and Robert Murray McShane asked him how he made out and asked him what he preached on. So Dr. Bonner told him that he had preached on judgment, so then Robert Murray McShane asked him, could you do that with feeling? Could you do that with feeling? And of course, we could be able to keep like that with feeling. Can I maybe want to give us all more the compassion of Christ? I think of three verses in the Gospel according to Mark about the preaching of the Lord Jesus, and these three verses are only Mark. Even though there's only 7% of Mark that is unique to Mark, these three verses are only Mark about his preaching. Mark 4, verse 33. With many such powerful spoken the word of men, and they were able to do it. He didn't give them too much, he didn't give them too little. We don't often think about it, but it's possible to give too much. As long as you give too little, sometimes you have an opportunity with only so one. And sometimes you fail because you don't say anything. And sometimes you can fail because you say too much. It's possible to say too much. And I want to be specific. Don't say how we can say too much. I don't know for sure if there's anyone here that does it, but I know for sure there have been some in gospel halls that have done it. And I'm thankful to God that some of them have changed their ways and have pointed this out. So if you do it, I hope you'll change your way too. Sometimes some in gospel halls, when they when somebody comes to gospel for the first time, they just feel all the hell good about that. But someone may put some buttonholes in that person and makes them listen to another hour after they listen to an hour of good faithful teaching. And usually the ones who get that kind of treatment get too much. They want to go home too long. They never come back again. But it's not like that either. He's spread many troubles onto the mountain and to hear it. He won't tell them what to speak. Now, I'm not finding any fault with persons that God answering questions. I am finding fault with forcing them. So this is another hour when they've already listened to an hour of faithful gospel preaching. They got plenty to think about it for that night anyway. And then, Matt 6:34, he's going to come out so much people that are moving compassion on them. Because they, were instead of God is keep having no suffering, and they began to teach them anything. I love that verse. It tells me this. That all the Savior's solemn, searching preaching was based on his compassion. So no wonder, the song of Mark 12:37, the common people heard him gladly. No wonder he is so patient and so compassionate. But in that prophecy that we have in Jude, we have four things. We have the certainty of the Lord's coming. The Lord shall come. And the Lord came. It really should be in the past tense. The Lord came. Now, the fact that this thing can't be altered, and what God has given in His Word prophetically, that can't be altered either. It's just as sure as if it already has happened. Just like Psalm 22:16. David wrote 1,050 years before Christ was born. They pierced my hands and my feet. Not they shall pierce my hands and my feet, but they pierced my hands and my feet. So, when David wrote that, the feet of the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus were just as surely going to be pierced as if they already were. And then, in Romans 8:30, and the prophet was speaking on Romans 8:30, Saint Mary, whom he did predestinate, and also Paul, and whom he called him after justified, and whom he justified, and also glorified. The same in the past tense. None of you need me to tell you that you don't have a glorified body yet. You don't have any looks and things that you're good. That any one of us that are justified is just as surely going to be glorified as if we already were. So, the Lord came. It's a certain. And then second, who's going to accompany him? With 10,000 of the saints, or with myriads of holy ones. And who are these holy ones? Zechariah 14:7. For the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him, and then his holy ones with him. But who are they? Why, we know it includes angels, because in Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall the Son of Man sit upon the throne of glory. So there'll be holy angels, but Colossians 3:4. When he shall appear, when Christ is in our life shall appear, we also shall appear with him. So the saints will be with him. And then we know the purpose of the judgment, persecute, judgment upon all. Of course, ungodly sinners, especially in view, we know from other scriptures that angels and demons will be judged. But then we know the result of the judgment, why sinners will be convinced. There will be no appeal from the district decision of the Supreme Court of the universe. But then, last of all, when Enoch walked with God, Enoch worked with God, and Enoch went to God. Genesis 5:24, specifically says, Enoch walked with God, and was not, but God took him. Hebrews 11 specifically says, verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, but he should not see death. And that's not found, for God has translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. And Enoch is a beautiful picture of those who are living at the time of the And that's pretty clear every one of us. And that's pretty clear as well. But it's pretty clear for everyone that's what says. Because it's become at any moment. But today it's interesting that the Father Word of God that has the most intense thing about the rapture. This is in the 60th to 18, by a certain first word. You receive the gospel and want to work and please God, see your home, more and more. So, this says to them, to forget the wrath of God. And then it says in verse 5, they will walk wisely to them that are the home. If you were to them, you will be walking honestly to them that are the home. So, he was careful. He went to God. I've already heard from Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11. The very place where he went, and by the way, I should say this before I go any further. There's only three recorded in the Word of God that didn't walk with God. Only three. Enoch, Noah, and the other one, the Levi, and you can now add to the text. There are four who are recorded as walking before God. Abraham, Isaac, David, and Hezekiah. But only three that walked with God. And you took one of the three. There are three other faces that we read about in the long chapter of the genealogy. But it's shown by we have to working for God. In verse 1, a Jew that kept to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was not saying a prophecy. And you're hearing from a very prophet this morning about the doctrine of Abraham. And Jesus Christ is a bit of a prophecy. So one of the one commentators on Jews prophecy after the apostles. That since already knew a bit of a prophecy, only for the God is kept to Jesus Christ. When think of this doxology. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. Getting intelligent about verse 8. He's not only able to keep us from falling. He's even able to keep us from stumbling. And I want to read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his word he kept the breakout, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not be far from my eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. If we look at the pace of our life, then we want the wisdom of God, and we want to use the understanding and knowledge of God that we are available in his word. Then shalt thou walk safely. And I keep on that symbol. It reminds me of a verse in Psalm 37, verse 31. The Lord is God is in his heart, and the steps of his learning. So, pray God is able to keep us from stumbling. And take the new name to his stumbling form. But if we don't stumble and fall, it's because we weren't looking to him to keep us. He's able to keep us from stumbling or falling. But then pray God. From the controversy of folly, from the way to the presence of the glory, and to the sinner's fantasy for the presence of glory, to the king of glory. Getting a person that could be to any Satan, not a participant of terror, but after the next fall to step, it can be paid at any moment. The Lord can intervene for us, and the enemy that could turn and glory. So, I hardly have an answer referred to here in the doxology of Jews. So, he went pay for them. They pay for them. So Jesus, they're becoming free, becoming their only for the other. And so, even the physical pain, which can come to us, that at any moment, it can be grown for us. By all the difficulties of that way, looking in the past, will be in the present and the glory. So just two simple things about it, he went with God, he went for God, and he went to God.